previously on Get in the Mecha. Over the course of many years, Batman has slowly been compelled to seek out this darkness as he is with everything else. The dark multiverse at the moment is simply a dream, a fantasy, a dark fantasy that is, a concept, a conspiracy. Although knowledge is power, is knowledge always a good thing? You are listening to episode 15 of the Get in the Mecha podcast, the anime and comic book podcast of which we take things one arc further. I'm your host Shamar today, as usual. I like anime, I like comics, I like all those things in between, so I decided to make a show where I make sense of all of it. In today's episode, as I said before, we are talking Dark Days the Casting, the conclusive issue to the Dark Knight's Metal Prelude. I don't think there is too much to say here. I'm really excited to wrap up the prelude and then talk about Dark Knight's Metal and what this prelude has produced. If you do get value from today's episode, consider leaving a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, consider subscribing to the show if you haven't already to get these episodes right when they come out. But that's really it. Let's get right to the episode. That is episode 15 of Get in the Mecha. The obvious first thing to start today's episode is spoilers for Dark Days the Casting comic. We'll be talking about that in quite a bit of detail, well, I will be, and there might be a few minor spoilers here and there. But to get on with it, let's talk about Dark Days the Casting and what it's really about. So in the last episode, we spoke about Dark Days the Forge and what that does for the entirety of Dark Knight's Metal. Dark Days the Forge, as we know, left off quite a few loose ends, and as the names imply, which I will go into slightly later, things are kind of going to be cemented or hardened in this comic. The plot has mostly already been kind of summarized for the Forge and the Casting in my previous plot summary, so let's just do a mini plot summary. The casting is sort of self-explanatory, mostly because it solidifies the events that were in Dark Days the Forge. Many events at the time were mysteries or in flux, and yes, those mysteries and conspiracies are very much present in this issue. Some of them are actually kind of resolved as Batman slowly but surely collects all these metals and reaches the endgame, that is, uncovering the darkness. But we don't only continue our quest with Batman, but also with Carter Hall as we reach the end of his diary post. So slowly, we gravitate to the darkness, that is, and gain a better understanding as to what this conspiracy is and what was it all about. As I said, I don't think there was too much to talk about in regards to the quote-unquote plot of the casting, as the Forge kind of does that for us. So instead, in today's episode, I think I'll touch on a few points that I think were really crucial when it came to the casting and how I sort of interpreted the storytelling when it comes to Snyder in this part of Dark Knight's Metal. The first one kind of goes back to what I was saying just before, and that was sort of the structure of everything. It's in two parts for a prelude, and I don't know if that's particularly normal. I know someone's going to probably pull out a prelude and then say that it totally is normal. I personally don't read many two-part preludes, but I do think there is quite an advantage to doing that, mostly because the Forge works to set everything up. So if we take Barbatos and if we take the Joker, although they still are quite vague, I think bringing in such setups and then the casting works to pay them off. I think that dynamic between the two works really well, as the loose ends are created in the Forge, latches your interest onto the casting, you read the casting and mostly fulfilled to one, continue to Dark Knight's metal, but also fulfilled that some of the answers, or at least the collection of the metals, has come together. So to an extent, it kind of has its own endgame. I'm gonna sound like a broken record here, but I also do think, and I will reiterate as many times as possible, that Snyder is writing with intention. And yeah, I might be reading too deep into this, but the two-part structure does prove that quite well. Creating an end goal, I think, is some degree of intentionality when it comes to storytelling. But the really good thing is that he's able to create interest for Dark Knight's metal, but still create somewhat of a conclusive prelude. I think that there is quite a problem, well, not really a problem, but there's potential to possibly create a prelude so it seems completely open-ended. Snyder does pay attention to the idea that this is kind of conclusive to a grand story, but should still conclude its prelude chapters. Some things to a degree are wrapped up, and therefore I respect Snyder for doing that. The most obvious payoff, I think, that is throughout or threaded throughout Dark Days the Casting is the story of Carter Hall. He is introduced at the very beginning to being very much tied to this idea of Nth Metal and the Dark Multiverse, and also just sharing that curiosity that Batman shares. Those two kind of have a synergy going on together, and that story is left halfway for it to be continued in the casting, reaching its conclusion being the end of his diary post, or his diary as a whole. And on that note, I do really want to point out that I am quite the fan of how Carter Hall's diary was very much implemented within the casting. I honestly felt, and this isn't a criticism, this is going to sound kind of like a criticism, but I felt like we were almost being walked through the basics of how to get to the Dark Multiverse by Carter Hall, almost like the Dark Multiverse for Dummies by Carter Hall, leading Batman on to discover what he needs to collect and how he'll kind of feel within that period. As I was saying, I really did like how it was done alongside Batman, mostly because it has a weird feeling to it. Usually, you know, a manual or someone's diary is telling you, you know, how to plant tomatoes in your garden, or how to make your bed, although you should know how to make your bed, those sort of things. But being told through a diary how to get to the Dark Multiverse, yeah, it's DC Comics and I get that, but it just feels really funny. That is probably an entirely irrelevant point, but I did just like how that was done. However, with everything I did say there, no matter how stupid, I do think that there is a logical point that can come out of this, and that is that the diary almost seems too good to be true, and that isn't even coming from hindsight after reading most of Metal. It just feels a bit too good. Being led into the Dark Multiverse doesn't really seem like something that someone would do, considering it is simply, as we said before, a conspiracy, something that should be kept in the dark. It's darkness itself. Why would you show someone how to get to the darkness? That, I think, is the powerful part. It feels like you're being led onto something that isn't quite right, being given almost literal steps. Okay, maybe not steps, but you can kind of follow on from how Carter went through things and through his story, how to get into the dark, with stuff like the sword and all of that. That all comes together, but why? Why is he telling you this? Why do we need to know how to get into the darkness? That is the thing that I think is probably the most mind-boggling bit. Okay, there are some more mind-boggling bits coming up in today's episode that I really want to go through, mostly within quotes, but even so, just not understanding why something is being done, but it's being done, is a really powerful thing that I think Snyder puts forward. How likely is it that someone's going to tell you how to get to a place that hasn't been revealed for almost all of time? Why hasn't it been known that as to now that this place exists? Why does it have to uncover itself now? That is a question we might not find out, but it's also a question that Carter Hall kind of challenges. Definitely in today's episode, I do feel like I'm waffling a bit, so let's talk about some stuff that isn't Dark Days the Casting for a bit. So here is the In The Moment segment for this week. this week has kind of been a bit of a slow week for me when it comes to anime and all that, mostly because life stuff, but I have gotten the chance to watch a bit more Oni-Ai, and I finally made my comeback when it comes to Monogatari. I'll quickly talk about Oni-Ai first. I'm having fun with the series. It's the brother complex series, if you weren't listening before. Girl that has a brother complex gets kind of weird. He just rejects it and everyone else in the harem. Standard harem script. I'm having fun with it. Do I love it? Do I think it's amazing? No, but it's a good time. I watch it often when editing, when I'm ironing as well, when I'm just bored. But if you want a good time for harem, I would recommend it. But it isn't, you know, top harem content. I still think there are definitely better harems out there. But as I said, a great time just to chill out, turn off your brain, and watch an anime girl do stupid things. And then there's my comeback to Monogatari. Monogatari second season was sick. I don't really know how to say that any better, but Monogatari second season was sick. And then I'm also now almost finished Hana Monogatari, which I am actually enjoying a lot more than I did. It kind of also inspired me to maybe do some Monogatari content that's not particularly arc analysis. If I do come up with those ideas, they will probably come in the future, so keep out for that. I'm really enjoying the series. If I'm completely honest, I don't really commit to watching large franchises. So whether that's really long series, okay, Gintama's an exception because I just started that on a whim. But if we take, you know, the classic example of One Piece, Fate is something that I've always been skeptical of watching, not because I think it's a bad show. I'm just not motivated enough to start it. But now watching Monogatari, I feel like I've kind of gained that back a bit. So maybe that is something I'll do. Fate maybe, JoJo's maybe, I don't know, but I'm definitely more open now to watching those longer series. They are quite interesting, quite enjoyable actually when you get into the flow of things when it comes to the arc structure, if they do have arcs, or the seasonal structure, whatever. It is quite fun, but am I willing to do it? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. I think I spoke about in the recent episode as well about how I went to Batman Day at my local comic store, bought a few things, J.J. Abrams' Spider-Man, I got a free copy of The Batman Who Laughs, I got a few nice things over there. Those will soon, possibly, maybe, be in review. Okay, maybe extract, maybe. They'll probably be reviewed when, I don't know, but I will try my best to review those. And firstly, that means I have to read them. I'm really excited to read particularly J.J. Abrams' Spider-Man, as I don't really know much about J.J. Abrams apart from his sort of background when it comes to writing and all of that. Excited to see a mind of his have a take on Spider-Man. And final things for the In The Moment segment, I have some weird urges to watch some shows, mostly Sword Art Online. JoJo's maybe also, but mostly Sword Art Online. I don't know what it is, maybe it's just the structure that kind of intrigues me. I know Sword Art Online is probably the most memed anime out there for its crooked storytelling, but I'm willing to try it. And maybe for you guys, I will sit through it so you don't have to watch it and I can talk about it and analyze it in all its glory. And on that note, let's sell out a bit and then end the In The Moment segment. If you do wish to support the show, consider leaving a review and also subscribing. Helps me a ton understand what's going on with the show and how I can improve it. And additionally, just have a great time listening to the show. It's going to sound a bit weird, but one of the best ways is just to enjoy the show. If you enjoy the show, I enjoy the show, and you guys have been listening, so therefore I've enjoyed the show. But that's about it for the In The Moment segment. Let's get back to Dark Days, the casting. An integral part to Dark Days, the casting, I have to say, is the dialogue. I recently just looked through the comic again, scribbled down some quotes from it, and now reading them back, they sound really, really good, and really show what this is really about. It's about unveiling this conspiracy, or unveiling this massive hidden entity or hidden world that we never knew was possible. And therefore, let's look through a few quotes from Dark Days the casting. The first one comes from the Joker. A good amount of these actually come from the Joker. The Joker is probably the most woke character in this entire, not franchise, okay, in this prelude, particularly the casting. I think the Joker is the most woke. The reason why I say that is that he has an understanding of what's really going on. If anything, I think he kind of mirrors how the audience feels or what we really want. He's just saying it right and out in the open. The first quote, I think, that very much just encapsulates what I'm saying is, "A dark crisis is coming." It's very literal, but it gets right down to the point. A dark crisis is coming. He knows what's up. He knows what is coming when everyone doesn't really exactly know. Maybe that is the reason why Batman just threw him in the Batcave. But then also, the second one I think that adds to that is, it was all a great conspiracy. We spoke quite a lot about conspiracy in The Forge, actually, when we did that Forge episode over in episode 11, I think it was. Yeah, episode 11, The Curse of Knowledge. When we spoke about that, conspiracy came up quite a lot. And then when I reread this, conspiracy also came up. A cool thing about this quote is kind of how the Joker, okay, this is going to be a bit weird in the way I'm going to phrase this, although most of this episode has been me coming up with crazy ways to explain things anyway. But what I think about this quote that I think was really important was, the Joker kind of has an outward perspective of everything. I think that is also facilitated by the fact that he is the Joker. He's one, a madman, if you want to argue that. And also, he's a villain, so he doesn't share that same optimism that someone like Superman would have. He can almost see past all the rubbish and crap, saying it was all a great conspiracy, that everything that came together, or everything that will come together, is almost meaningless or futile. It is kind of nice to have a bit of a fresh perspective occasionally. There is sometimes the tendency to get all these heroic perspectives, saying, you know, do what's right, save the world, be the best person you can for the people on the streets or the people up there or whatever. The Joker doesn't really give a crap. He kind of just says what needs to be said, and that is, this is all a hoax. This doesn't really matter. If anything, the Joker is on the side saying, it's a trap. I'm gonna regret saying that. It's almost like the Joker just calling the fact that it's a trap from the outside. Obviously, no one will listen to him. But he's the crazy conspiracist that understands everything that's going on. And I'm quite sure the audience, although, okay, that's where some conflict comes in here. The Joker is, yes, a villain, a madman, and there are Joker fans. I'm quite sure a lot of us are Joker fans. But it's the conflict between, what do you want to believe? Do you want to believe the heroic side, that is Batman and co, that are, you know, doing the right thing and uncovering what needs to be uncovered, delivering the truth? Or do you side with a madman that doesn't seem to always know what he's talking about, but has a point anyway? That is kind of the case when it comes to villains also, that I think is quite interesting. Do you agree with a villain with a point, or do you agree with a hero that kind of doesn't see things completely as they are or as realistic as possible? That optimism I think that Batman has is, one, quite rare, but it's a weird optimism that I can't completely side with, because we kind of know that everything isn't particularly going into a great direction. Like, for crying out loud, this is called Dark Days the casting and The Forge, and there's a massive bat in the darkness. How can I be convinced that Batman's going to a good place and finding some good things? So I kind of have no choice but to side with the Joker. That is also a smart thing that I kind of picked up on now. The Joker is, as I said, the wokest character in this entire comic, because he puts forward a perspective that you kind of don't want to agree with, but you have to kind of agree with it, because it's very much likely more true than what Batman believes to be in the darkness. This quote, again from the Joker, we're doing a bit of a Joker spotlight here. This quote from the Joker is probably one of my favorites in the entirety of Metal, and therefore the prelude being Dark Days. That is the bat behind the bat that comes from the Joker, as I said. The bat behind the bat. I wasn't going to go too much into meaning. I know in recent episodes I've been going quite hard on the etymology stuff, but this time I'm going to take it literally. The bat behind the bat is so cool because, yeah, there is literally history to the bat or Batman being Barbatos and the symbol of the bat and everything. We kind of assume Batman as a character usually just developed and manifested through his pain of his parents' death and all of those other things that happened to him. And therefore he found the quote-unquote bat and was inspired by that, calls it Batman, and yeah, he just keeps going, becomes this amazing detective that fights crime. And yes, he is that. However, Dark Days adds so much more to that. The bat behind the bat, the true inspiration behind everything that has sort of led Batman passively to this path, it kind of makes me think that, was this all a lie? Was everything leading up to this a lie? It also makes me question, did Batman become Batman because of the bat? Or did the bat choose Batman? That's kind of like a chicken or the egg situation. How did the bat really become the bat? That is a question that is left simmering in Dark Days, the casting. And on that note, let's talk about Destiny and everything that kind of surrounds that. Destiny is a really big theme in the casting, almost pushed even more than it is in The Forge. The ending and the beginning are two sort of sub-themes that come off that. The beginning being, as I said before, the bat behind the bat. What are the origins of such choices? What informs rationality? What informs such decisions? That can be seen within, obviously, the choice of the bat and the bat behind the bat, but also things like choosing Duke Thomas. Why was that the case? Again, another question that we kind of have to let Snyder tell for us. But then there's the ending, and that obviously relates to the end of the casting. That is, everything comes to a conclusion. That is the most important part. I think Carter Hall explains it a bit better, though. It's an ending you can no longer choose. Everything has become hardened, as I said, or cemented, similar to casting. I don't know if that was even an intentional thing, but bringing things together and forcing them, almost shoehorning them, to one destiny, one fate, that is the dark. And then we can even use the title, I'm segueing here, we can even use the title of last episode when we spoke about The Forge. We can use that and apply that very much to Batman. The curse of knowledge has its consequences. That consequence is being shoehorned into this one path, that is, assemble the metals and see the darkness for yourself. But getting back on track, I just love how everything feels questionable. Nothing feels concrete. There isn't a simple one-word answer. Okay, there is, being the end and the dark. But also, there is so much that is left unexplored. Why this? Why that? Why that? I'm gonna say why a billion times. But it is true. Why did everything come into place? If anything, this part of Dark Days is very much like those scenes in Evangelion, or those episodes of Evangelion where you're kind of just left clueless by the end of the episode. That's mostly for people that haven't watched it or watch it for the first time. You're kind of just left at the end like, what just happened? Or you're just questioning so many things, like, why did this do that? Why did Shinji do this? Why did Rei do that? You know, I want to link everything to Evangelion sometimes. This is called getting the mecha, you know? But yeah, the casting very much opens the floor to so many concepts and also makes me think why things happened. Why was this decision made instead of this? What would have happened if this didn't happen? That is very much put on the table for us to decipher. I think that is most of my waffling done for today's episode. Let's just conclude and go to some closing thoughts on Dark Days, the casting. So what do I think of this comic? As you can tell, I like it a lot. I reread it and I kind of got more invested within it because of how Snyder matches the conclusion to the prelude, and also the extension to Dark Knight's Metal and all of that. As I have rambled on for minutes or like 30 minutes now, although this will be cut down so you won't see that, it just opens the floor to so many questions that we didn't really consider. The true origin story behind Batman. Why does the Joker know what he knows? What informs Batman's rational decisions to do X and Y, choose Duke Thomas, do whatever? Is it because of the bat? Is he doing it himself? Those are things that are left unknown. And finally, I just want to say that I really do appreciate the scale of all of this. Dark Days and Dark Knight's Metal and all of it takes place on such a large scale that I can't resist reading it. That's probably one of my favorite parts. I didn't really mention it as it's quite a low level point, but I think it's the right time to say it now. I just love the scale of everything and how everything is almost interlinked within this story. I was reading a bit on some popular forums, or relatively popular forums, about how sometimes a story can be good when it's just, you know, large, stupid fun. I agree with half of that, okay? I don't really agree with saying stupid fun. I do agree with the sentiment of just having a large-scale story and seeing your favorite superheroes do what they do best. That is taken very much in open arms when it comes to Metal. Building an entire vast sort of interconnected chain of thingies, being heroes and events and metals and everything else, just makes it really enjoyable because it's a big, massive space opera, as said by one of the writers. I need to fact check that, actually. A big scale sometimes isn't always appealing, I'll be honest, because there's almost too much cross-cutting sometimes. I think Dark Days gets it right, mostly because it is still following one character, two characters. Everything very much revolves around Carter Hall and Batman. So the scale is kind of manipulated, so the center of gravity meets at Carter Hall and Batman, and everything else is carved around it. I'm really impressed with that point, actually, to be fair. So would I recommend Dark Days the casting? Yes, I would. Do you like large-scale stories? If you do, I think you should really try out the casting as well as The Forge, because it does offer some new things. If you are into your DC and you want to see some things challenged and also just have fun with some great characters, mostly within the sort of Batman verse and beyond, I think Dark Days is the one for you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Get in the Mecha podcast. That has been episode 15. I think this episode will be a slightly shorter episode, maybe, I'm not too sure. I had some fun. I did waffle quite a bit, I do apologize for that. But I just wanted to get out there how much I really enjoyed the casting. Looking back over it, I did see some amazing parts that I just had to talk about. If we take the bat behind the bat, yeah, I'm saying that again. The bat behind the bat and all of that stuff. It was really enjoyable to just nail it and get right down and deep into it, take some quotes, look at them, and see what they do for the rest of this prelude. So that is the prelude content done for Dark Days and Dark Knight's Metal as a whole. Next time when we do speak about Dark Knight's Metal or Dark Days, we'll be actually speaking about the core 6 issues of Dark Knight's Metal. I am excited for that, as I won't have to waffle on about the same points over and over again. So that is a good thing. As usual, if you enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. Review, subscribe. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, guys, as usual. Never feel afraid to get in the mecha and try something new. And hopefully I will see you in the next episode, guys. Thank you so much and goodbye. The music in this production goes as follows: Difference by Chasers Gaming, Chipscape by Chasers Gaming, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, Anomaly by Eric Medeas under soundimage.org,